The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Rolien, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
What a lovely welcome, Ben.
Well, a lovely welcome for a lovely lady, if I may say so myself. Although, is that sexist these days, Marilyn? Sorry, I apologize profusely if it is.
I will take it.
Some interesting stories on our Israel report today. This is an interesting one. UNRWA, everyone's least favorite UN agency, apparently risks collapse because of political attacks and lack of funding. What's going on there?
Isn't it interesting? So UNRWA, and I know that a lot of our listeners have had their blood pressure rise just at the very mention of that. That's the United Nations Relief Works Agency. But UNRWA are in a spot of big, big trouble. According to their commissioner, Philippe Lazzarini, he says that he has to sound the alarm. He says because UNRWA is struggling to pay their bills. They have about $100 million shortfall and cannot pay salaries, etc., etc. And he blames this on what he calls political attacks and funding cuts. Now, the political attacks would be the attacks, in his opinion, coming from us and countries like the United States who are calling UNRWA out on the hypocrisy, the education of hatred, the incitement in their textbooks, something that has been noted by the United States, by various European countries. Countries like the United Kingdom have slashed their funding for UNRWA from about £40 million out of their budget to £20 million. That's 50%. See how good at maths I am, Benj. But also, there have been the scandals. The previous commissioner was in a lot of trouble because of allegations of sexual harassment with staff. And now we've had the damning report from UN Watch that came out in August that cited at least 113 staff members using their social media platforms to incite hate and propagate anti-Semitic language. And to date, only 6 of them have been fired. So he is appealing to the international community to increase their funding, to help them out. We've heard our ambassador to the United Nations, Gilad Erdan, who has said UNRWA has long been part of the problem and not part of the solution. Instead of functioning as an agency for humanitarian and educational assistance, they function as a political body that promotes the Hamas narrative. And you and I, who follow the situation very, very closely with UNRWA, with the Middle East, will know that UNRWA have allowed their schools, their hospitals to be used as armories for Hamas and their cohorts in the Gaza Strip to store their munitions and their rockets. So very, very difficult times ahead for UNRWA.
Yeah, and hopefully can spur some reform in that benighted organization. Rolien, Welfare Ministry releases stats on domestic abuse. What's going on there?
Well, we have in Israel the month that is dedicated to combating violence against women. And on November the 25th is the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. I know that countries like South Africa will also take part in the 16 days of activism, and this is to raise awareness. But in honor of this month and this day, the Welfare Ministry have released their data over the last year. Now, we know that there has been an escalation in reports of domestic violence, not just in Israel, but around the world. A lot of women, a lot of families impacted by lockdowns, by the pressures that have resulted as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. So the ministry's data has showed that since the beginning of 2021 until October, there have been 7,977 cases of domestic violence that were reported to the call center that is run by the ministry. Now, you have Amutot or NGOs like WITSO, like Namat, other, you know, women's organizations that run hotlines, that have shelters, So this is separate to the calls that those organizations took. Just the ministry experienced a 10% rise in the amount of domestic violence calls put through. Some were their reports on their partners, and some were against children. Now, they haven't been clear if this was children who have committed acts of violence or acts of violence committed against children. But one thing is for sure, it's a very, very worrying phenomenon in Israel and wherever in the world gender-based violence does happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, a few months ago, we had some issues around American funding and Iron Dome. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. has pledged to replenish the Iron Dome. What that's all about?
Well, we have our U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Linda Greenfield Thomas. She's in the country at the moment. She's met with President Herzog, with Prime Minister Bennett, various other dignitaries. But yesterday she spent quite a bit of time at a Iron Dome base, understanding how it works, speaking to the soldiers. She also, and I must make specific mention of it, she also met with the families of Hadar Golden and Orwancha, who promised to do everything in her power to ensure that they are returned, as well as the families of Avera Mengistu and Hisham al-Sayed, to civilians still being held captive in the Gaza Strip by Hamas. But she spent a considerable amount of time with Iron Dome soldiers, with the IDF, understanding the technology. And she said that she pledges to ensure that the Iron Dome is replenished. You know, when you understand how the technology works, and this is a word of warning to the squad, you understand that it's purely defensive and it saves not just Israeli lives, but also Palestinian lives, because we don't want to contemplate the alternative if there were no Iron Domes and those rockets were hitting their intended targets in Israel, and what Israel would have to do to defend her civilians.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Ro, I spoke a little bit before this about a new interesting water solar deal being done between Israel and Jordan, and it looks like things like this climate change and the environment becoming firmly on not just the NGO environment in Israel, but even on the governmental governance agenda as well.
Well, this is very interesting because we've all been talking about climate change. We saw Israel at COP26 just last month. I know that His Royal Highness, the Prince of Wales, his wife, the Duchess of Cornwall, will be in Egypt for the rest of the week. Very interesting when royals visit the region, because people think, why aren't they coming to Israel? Well, specifically for a very important reason, to hand over the COP26 baton to Egypt, who will be hosting COP27 next year, and then it goes to the United Arab Emirates for COP28 the year after. So it's definitely being kept regional. And what is very interesting to note is that Israel has announced that one of our major focuses now will be to pivot to deal with climate change, because it does affect our regional security. And today the Knesset Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee called on the government and the security services to treat this as a national security threat. Now, apparently, according to scientists, they say that the Middle East is probably the most affected region in the world when it comes to climate change. And I know there are a myriad of opinions, but when you read how increasing temperatures affect the abilities to carry out emergency services and rescues, but also military operations, which I didn't know until today, Benj, you understand how it is seen as a threat. Also, because we're a region highly affected by water scarcity, and when water is an issue, it leads to conflict as well. So very, very interesting to see how we are pivoting, and that one of the main areas of focus will be ramping up our innovation efforts to combat climate change.
Well, there you go. We'll be keeping track of it with Rolene Marks and our Israel report. Rolene, thank you so much.
For you, always a pleasure.